Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. This Wednesday, November the 11th of 2015, we celebrate a special day. It's called Veterans Day. And as we mentioned earlier in the service, we have several folks in our congregation today who are veterans of the armed services. And on this particular day, we pay tribute to all the men and women who've served our nation in one of the branches of the armed services. Some have served at home, others abroad, some in war, and some in peace. Yet all have served with a mission and a purpose. And again, to those in our congregation who have served our country, we say thank you for your service. But you know that as Christians, we're all in service. We're all in service to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. We're in service to the kingdom of heaven. Do you ever stop to think about that? We talk about, well, I want to go to heaven and I do this and all that, you know, about heaven. But you are in service to the kingdom of heaven. The moment you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you begin your service to the kingdom of heaven. And you know that a battle has raged ever since Eve partook of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Whether it was an apple, whether it was a pomegranate, whatever it was, it doesn't really matter. She partook of the fruit that God had said, you do not eat of the fruit of this tree. And the moment that she did, the battle of good and evil began. And it's always been good against evil. It's been God against Satan. And in the Old Testament, we find many examples of a man or woman of God who find themselves in a battle against the enemy. Think about it. As you read the Bible, there's constant conflict there of people who are serving God fighting against the enemy of God. One of the examples that we find is in the book of Job. And if you recall that story, it says that Satan appeared before God and God said to him, have you seen my servant Job? You know, and God's giving Job a good reference here. And Satan speaks back to God. He says, but if you just let me do this or that, I'll turn him against you. I'll make him curse you. And we read about that story in Job, according to some scholars, is probably one of the oldest books in the Bible as far as the time frame in which it was written. So this evil, good and evil battle has been going on a long time, and it's still happening today just like that. Satan is accusing us before God and saying, well, what about this person? If you'll just let me. And we see examples of that in our everyday lives of one person or another who is trying their best to serve God, and the enemy has come against them and trying to destroy them, trying to get them to curse God and die. Job fought a horrendous battle. He lost loved ones. He lost possessions. He lost his health. In fact, at one point, his wife even comes to him and says, Job, just curse God and die. But he hung on and through it all. And if you read the rest of the book there, you find out in the end, God blessed Job more abundantly than what he had before all of this took place. Then we read about the children of Israel. Here's a group of people that started out as a family that migrated to Egypt. And after a period of time, they, instead of being the welcome guests in the country, they are now the slaves of the country. They are the oppressed of Egypt. Crying out for a deliverer. And God sends a deliverer in the form of a man named Moses. And They go through the situations that they go through with all it takes before they leave Egypt, and they go through the wandering in the wilderness. They spend 40 years in the desert, which they didn't have to spend if they'd just been obedient to God. You know, if they'd have come across that Red Sea shouting and praising God and saying, "We're on our way to the promised land," and kept on praising God, they'd got there in a short time. But they begin to grumble and complain. And yet there's a lot of Christians today that God has blessed them. He's delivered them out of something, and the next thing you know, we're grumbling and complaining about what is going on in our life, instead of giving God thanks for all the blessings He's bestowed upon us. And think about it. Just look around. Examine your life. You will find that God has blessed you abundantly. Do you have hard times? Yes. And if I stood up and told you that as a Christian you'd never have another hard time in your life, I'd be preaching false doctrine and you should get rid of me. But I'm not going to tell you that, because I know that if the enemy comes against you, you're going to have some hard times. If you are serving God, you're going to have some hard times, because you're in the service of the King. And we find as we go on, and they're now have crossed the Jordan, they're in the promised land, and they go up and they fight the battle of Jericho, and they have great victory there. If you read a little bit further, you find out that then they come up to conquer another place at Ai, and they suffer defeat because there was sin in the camp. And sometimes we suffer defeat because there's sin has crept into the camp, And sometimes it may be some sin that's not necessarily just you alone that's involved in it, but it's some other sin that's kind of around there. In this particular case, one man sinned and it affected the whole camp. They lost a battle. And they had said, "Oh man, after Jericho, man, we can take on anything." You know, I kind of imagine some of them might have been strutting around thinking, "Just look what we did at Jericho." They didn't do diddly at Jericho. All they did was march around the walls, then shout at the end on the seventh day. But God was the victor there. But then sin entered into the camp. Once sin was removed from the camp and they'd made things right with God here and done what was required of them, they went on and had victory. Then we read another story where kings conspired against them. In chapter 10, we read of another victory then that is won. And then Joshua spoke to the people then in Joshua chapter 10, verse 25, and he said, "And Joshua said unto them, Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do all to your enemies against who you fight." Be of courage. Be strong. Be of good courage. The Lord is helping us to fight our battles. We cannot necessarily fight the battles on our own that we come in contact with, that are brought into our life. We have to have God on our side to be able to overcome and to win those battles, because it is God that is fighting our battles. He is the one that is going before us. He is the one that is making the way. All we have to do is follow God, and He will lead us through. Of course, the Old Testament gives us many other examples of victories that are won when God is on your side. And in the New Testament, we read of trials and tribulations that members of the early church went through. Just think about it. Some were stoned. Think about Stephen. He was stoned to death simply because he was serving God and doing what God had called him to do. Stoned for it. Other incidents happened. Some of the apostles we read about were thrown in jail. Didn't know for sure what was going to happen to them. And there's one instance where Peter was thrown in jail. Group, prayer group at home. And sometimes we get like this. Prayer group is home. Is God, please deliver Peter out of that jailhouse. Maybe that wasn't exactly the way they said it, but something like that. Get Peter out of jail. Get him out of prison. Deliver him. God answered the prayer. And the next thing you know, knock at the front door. Who's there? It's me, Peter. Run back inside. Peter's at the door. Nah, can't be Peter. He's in jail. You must have seen a vision or something there. But Peter's in jail. What have they been praying for? God, deliver Peter out of prison. He's delivered. He knocks on the door. And they said, nah, can't be. And we're sometimes that way. We pray to God for a miracle in our life. We pray for a deliverance in our life. We pray for something that we need to have God answer prayer. And when it happens, nah, it can't be. Nah, I can't accept that. No. That'd require a miracle. What are we supposed to be believing in? We're supposed to be believing in the things of God, and I believe in a God of miracles. God does great things. He works great miracles. He delivers people. Other things that happen to the apostles, the people of the early church, if you read throughout history, there's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it talks about some of the events that happened to Christians throughout the time of the early church on up to more modern day times, at least to the time that Fox's Book of Martyrs was written. And some of the things they went through, and Christians have faced obstacles. They faced hindrances. They faced problems. They faced an enemy that comes against them on a regular basis, and yet they have triumphed. Why? Because they are in the service of the King. And they are serving the God of the universe. Serve a great God today. The Apostle Paul faced many battles in his lifetime. He faced many obstacles. And you got to think back, he was the same guy that was standing there holding their coats, basically, when Stephen was stoned. And yet later on, now he's out preaching the gospel and he's facing some of the same things that have happened to the other Christians throughout the earlier ages there of that, or earlier times of that. And he's in prison at times, and he's had this happen to him and that happen to him, but he's continuing on to fight the fight, continuing on to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's continuing on in the service of the King. And in writing to Timothy, he speaks of the obstacles that will be in our path, but goes on to say in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes as we're in this battle, we don't know how it's going to come out. Sometimes we can't see how it's possibly going to come out for our good, but God knows. God knows. Lay hold on eternal life. Isn't that what we're trying to lay hold of? Eternal life. Eternal life with the King. Whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight. We're in a battle today. We are soldiers in the army of the King of the universe. There's a song that was written many years ago called Onward Christian Soldiers. Don't hear that sung much anymore. In fact, I can't remember the last time I heard it sung. In fact, it's been so long that I really don't remember most of the words to it. But Onward Christian Soldiers, because we are in the service of the King. And I know as a kid in Sunday school, and they had this little song, I can't even think of the words of it right now, but about marching in the army of the King and the infantry and all of this stuff, you know. And it talks about it. And even though I can't remember the words, some of you I see out there do remember the words this morning to that song. How we were in the service of the King. And as Christians, we are in His service. Later on, as Paul is ending or nearing the end of his life, he writes something that we all should take hold of. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. Another translation says, I have finished the race. I'm about to cross the finish line here. I have kept the faith. And you might say, those are three things there that we all as Christians need to accomplish. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Nobody ever wins when they drop out. Well, I don't know. In today's society, it seems like everybody's supposed to be a winner. And you could probably drop out of a race and still be considered that you won. I don't know. Because it's a messed up society today. But in reality, you do not win if you don't finish the race. And there's a lot of people out there in the world today who are not living in reality. Let's just face it. But we have to finish the race. We have to finish it. And then he goes on to say, I've kept the faith. We have to keep the faith. And you know what? There are times as Christians that the enemy may come along and he will try to get you to doubt your faith. And he will whisper in your ear, nah, that can't be. How can that be true? Well, this just doesn't line up with whatever. And he'll come against not only just John Doe or Jane Doe Christian, but he sometimes comes across those who are kind of out in the forefront. I've heard well-known ministers talking of times that doubts came into their mind. I had doubts. The enemy put doubts in my mind. The enemy will try to put doubts in your mind because he wants you to no longer keep the faith. And if you begin to doubt the faith, then he's got a stronghold there and he can chip away at that crack in the armor then and begin to peel the armor away if you'll let him. We have to keep the faith. My faith is in God. My faith is in Jesus Christ and nothing less. He is my hope. He is my righteousness. He is what I am. We're to serve Him, to fight the good fight. You know, when you go into the military, some of us that were in the service got drafted back when they were doing the draft. Some went out and signed their name on a piece of paper and that smiling face turned into, oh, gotcha now. And you were in for the next 4 years or whatever. And then typically as you got toward the end of that time, that smiling face came back and tried to get you to sign that line again. But, you know, you made a choice there to fight in that. You made a choice to do it. And we were in the service of the armies of our particular country. And as Christians, we make a choice to serve God. We have made a choice to serve God. We have declared, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We have declared He is Lord of my life. We have declared that I want to serve Him with all my heart, with all my being, with all that I have in me. And that's how we're to do it, with all that we've got. But as we were in the military, those that went in, however drafted, enlisted, whatever, you started out the lowest of the low. Depending on the branch of service, you might have been called some pretty bad names, telling you how low you were, you know. But then things advanced and time went on and you advanced up the ranks. Maybe you got on up to higher ranks, but there was a ranking system, and there were people that had certain positions assigned to them, and there were people that were in positions of authority, and those positions grew over time as to who might be in what authority. Just as in our regular, in the service of our King, we're not all in the same place. Does that mean God loves us any less? No. But God, as I've preached before, week after week lately, it seems like, God has a plan and a place for us. And we need to be in God's plan and in God's place as we serve Him. And that's what counts, being in God's plan and God's place as we serve Him. And God didn't call every one of us to be a general. And some of you probably thinking, man, I don't want to be a general, you know? But God has a place for us, and He has a, because it took people of all levels of positions and skills to make it work. There were the people that handed out the clothing from the supply room to you, your uniforms. There were people that cooked the meals. And believe me, those cooks were just as important, because if you didn't eat, pretty soon you couldn't fight. And we need to feed on the Word of God, and we need to do the things that God has before us. And God equips us, and we see it in different areas as God does this in our life. But we're still all members of the same army, the army of God. We're the soldiers of the King as we go about serving Him and fighting in His kingdom. It goes on. Jesus speaking, as we talk about the kingdom here, because He said, what's His kingdom anyway, you know? Well, Jesus spoke about the kingdom. In fact, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and of course this is talking about John the Baptist, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. A short time later, reading in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus mentioned the kingdom of heaven, as I counted them last night, I believe it's 30 times in the book of Matthew alone. The kingdom of heaven. We are soldiers in service to the King of Kings. We are fighting for the kingdom of heaven. And our battle, the Bible tells us, is not against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle that we fight on a day-to-day basis for our entire lives as Christians. We will fight that battle. And there are people out there who aren't Christians that are fighting that battle. They're not fighting for the same reason. But they have the same enemy that we have, except he's trying to drag them down and keep them from ever becoming a Christian. Getting to them. He's trying to destroy the lives of new Christians, people who've just recently accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and throwing obstacles and things into their path that will try to cause them to doubt and be discouraged. Because it's a warfare, it is a battle that we fight continuously throughout our entire life. If you're a Christian, you are a citizen of the kingdom. Every one of us seated in this room today was born in the United States of America. And you are a citizen of the United States of America because of your being born in the United States. And when we are born again, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are then born into the kingdom of heaven and become citizens of that, I lack the better word to use than country, but he talks about it sometimes as a country. We become citizens of that kingdom. We're dual citizens. I think I mentioned that not too long ago, too, that we're dual citizens. And God is on our side. He is our leader. He is the one that we serve. As citizens of the United States of America, and I know there's debate going on about this right now throughout our nation, we stand and we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And there are people who don't want that to be done anymore. Oh, no, we can't do that because it's going to offend somebody. Well, I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and if you're offended by the fact that I'm a citizen and I love the United States of America, too bad. Simple as that. But I'm also a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and if you're offended by the fact that I'm a member of the citizen of, I'm a member of the kingdom of heaven, well, all I got to say is I feel sorry for you, and I wish you were a member of the kingdom of heaven. And you can be if you're not a member of the kingdom of heaven. You can be. The Bible tells us we can be a member of the kingdom of heaven simply by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, inviting Him into our heart, and He will do the work. He's already done the work that makes us that member. He's already paid the price to make us a member of the kingdom of heaven. All we have to do is accept it. Jesus did a great work for us on the cross of Calvary because His Father loved me, loved you, and you, and you, and you, and everyone in here loved you so much that He sent Jesus to pay the price for your sin, that you could become a member of the kingdom of heaven. And yes, there are times it's tough. It's tough times being a citizen of any country at times. Sometimes harder than others. Same way within the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's harder than others. But we serve a God who is all-powerful. He is the creator of all things, and He will see us through. And we need to be to the point that someday we can utter those words that Paul spoke, "I have finished. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." One of these days, we'll get to see the victory. A victory that can never be taken away. A victory that will be for eternity. A victory that will be forever and ever. I heard someone talking the other day in a thing I saw online about had to do with infinity and all these different things you could do, and it just boggles your mind. And infinity in some way does boggle our minds because we, as mortal, finite human beings, can't really wrap our minds around some of it, but we serve a God that is forever and forever and forever and forever and always has been and always will be, and will be part of His kingdom. And if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you today to simply ask Him to come into your heart and life. Surrender your life to Him and say, "I'm yours. I give myself to you. I want to be part of your kingdom. I want you in my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior." If you do that, He will. But you've got to take that first step. You've got to ask Him into your heart. And Father, I pray today. Father, I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your mercy. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone that's listening to this message today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're not a member of the kingdom of heaven, I pray, Father, that You would speak to their hearts, that the Holy Spirit would deal with them, Father, and help them to realize that they too can be a member of Your glorious kingdom. And I give You praise and I give You glory, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.